The Lifting of a Weight by Bouzette, read by Rena Jenkins. Fandom, Star Trek Reboot. They told Gayla she could go anywhere. They told her after she arrived in San Francisco, between the spread-out face-to-face meetings with the public advocate she mistrusted, and empty days and nights spent in a place United Earth government didn't come out and call a detainment facility. It took a space standard month, 29.8 days, before they, a different they, wearing false apology on his face, cleared the stowaway charges from her record and replaced them with a refugee tag. He handed Gayla a slim polymer card loaded with a safe haven address, a map, and access to public transit for 30 more days. Then said, "Welcome to Earth. We're sorry for any inconvenience." She knew that she had met worse liars, but presently she could not think of them. Gayla made her way to the address on the card, tracing the orange cable line with her fingertip, and then walking quickly along the narrow footpaths, all still concrete, and up one last massive hill. She was dressed in the temporary, disposable clothing of people this planet didn't know what to do with, and the Earthers she passed looked carefully past her. Gayla ignored them, entering the building which street number matched her directions, with her chin held at 90 degrees to her throat. Worse things than solitude inside a group. Old United States vernacular called the Suncoast Center a halfway house. The organization itself offered her food, clothing, a room, and a house psychologist's sympathetic ear if she wanted it. Gayla didn't, and they didn't press, although they paused over her first question to them. "I can leave if I want to. I don't have to stay." They said she could go anywhere she liked, although she had a skills assessment in 10 days' time, and that it would be impolite if she didn't tell them she wished to cancel. Gayla felt her eyes go wide, the first unguarded expression she had allowed herself since she ran. "Oh," the other woman said, flipping over her pad so that Gayla could see, her lips drawn back into an easy smile. "Apparently you're a fairer hand at computers than the folks down in immigration told you." "They didn't tell me anything." "Well, the Lovelace apparently hasn't quite figured out what you actually did to their systems. See, there's a note of it." There was a note. She had written the document that would hide her entrance on the Federation ship over months of stolen moments. Gayla said, "But I can still leave." "Of course. Cancel the assessment." Gayla double-checked that the woman had made the cancellation, but she also took a seat on one of the proffered rec room sofas when she found out that lunch was only 2 hours away. She met a double handful of other women and half-listened to their not-quite-welcoming greetings. She was the only one who had known slavery. The two longer stories she heard that first morning confirmed for her that humans, Federation humans, not the rogues she knew from the edges of the civilized galaxy, the ones who traded in sentient flesh, were not the salvation she had let herself believe in. She trusted the heavy-lidded second-long glances, noticeable only in how quickly they vanished when she met them with her eyes, more than she did the open words. Why would they need to build in safe haven from war, disaster, or displacement in a world that didn't have those things? Gayla accepted a bed in a small locking room that only she had the key to, and thought about leaving every day. The house mother, a long-armed, non-humanoid covered in brown fur, with two-fingered, claw-tipped hands, sleepy eyes, and a perpetual smile, showed Gayla there herself, The city was fogged in for the next week. The clouds passed them early in the second. Gayla dressed warmly and left early that morning. She boarded the first northbound public shuttle she found and got off the second time it stopped, then walked the 100 meters from the road to the public edge of the cliff to watch the beach below and the ocean beyond it. Gayla had seen oceans before, warm and teal as an Orion newborn, cold ink blue and smelling of iodine, salt, and life. She knelt, letting the sandstone pebbles dig into her knees for a while, then shifted back on her heels. No one came for her. Another hour passed. Gayla checked her card, map, identification, transportation, and currency all in one, and found no alert advising, commanding, her return to the house. After a while, a group of young male humans, each carrying a hunk of hardened fiber foam as long as they were tall, called out, "Nice day," but led her on her own when she didn't do more than turn her head toward them and then back away. Not a breath about where she was or what she was doing. When the next shuttle sounded behind her and left again, its load of passengers seemingly ignorant of her presence here, also entranced with themselves. Someone always noticed a slave without a task. No one noticed Gayla, as she sat, knelt, or stood, watching the waves and whipped cream soft rolls of cloud in the distance. The sun angled itself further over the edge of the water, and she squinted just past it, eyelids almost closed against soul's atmosphere-fuzzed intensity. She made a quick, sharp breath when the star in the horizon flashed a true, pure green, and told herself it wasn't a welcome. Couldn't be. Gayla stepped aboard the last shuttle south at 11:30 that night, with little enough hesitation. No one said a word when she walked through the house to her room. She found the house mother the next morning and said, "I could send the Lovelace my code if they wanted. I still have it, after all." She'd learned it by heart. "I'll get you a contact address." The end.